Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm taking your questions that you've emailed me, freedom@charliekirk.com. I respond to a woke professor at the once great, now miserable Wheaton College that has become super woke and totally unrecognizable, unfortunately. I also talk about what is going on at the border. Should we classify it as an invasion? And did Greg Abbott actually do something rather meaningful? Pretty good, actually. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. And get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Come to our student action summit at tpusa.com/SAS. We have Kaylee McEnany, Ted Cruz, Laura Ingram, Josh Hawley, Greg Gutfeld, Donald Trump Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, Kat Timpf, Pete Hegseth, Byron Donalds, Ben Carson, Rick Scott, Lauren Boebert, Kevin Stitt, Governor of Oklahoma, Kat Kamick, Matt Gaetz, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin, Victor Marks, Sean Foyt, and three pastors, Mark Burns, Samuel Duth, and Pastor David Engelhart. That's tpusa.com/SAS. If you are maybe feeling depressed or anxious, you're probably staring at your screen too much, and you should use whatever money you have, come to Tampa, Florida, and make something out of your life. Immerse yourself with people who share your values. Meet new people. Turn off that stupid little silly smartphone and start to flourish. Turning Point USA Student Action Summit is for people of all ages, June 22, 23, 24. It's tpusa.com/SAS. Running out of time. It's in about 2 weeks. tpusa.com/SAS. Turning Point Action will be hosting Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. People's lives are changed at our Student Action Summit every single year. tpusa.com/SAS. Again, freedom@charliekirk.com is how to email me. I want to see all of you in Tampa, Florida at our Student Action Summit. So buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Charlie, I love your show and never miss it. Thank you. I've heard you be critical of Texas for their PR stunt of busing illegals to Washington, D.C. It seems that they are starting to listen. Texas is now authorizing its own state-level law enforcement to immediately remove all illegal crossers and put them at the port of entry in Texas. Do you believe this is the right move, or do you want them to do even more? Becky from Fredericksburg, Texas. First of all, I love Fredericksburg, Texas. It's great, and that is what is happening. Governor Greg Abbott empowers state authorities to return migrants to border crossings, breaking in just the last day. Governor Greg Abbott on Thursday cleared state authorities to return migrants they apprehend to the border, setting up a potential clash with the federal government over the authority to enforce immigration law. Thank you. That's what we've been calling for on the show for quite some time. We're not taking credit for it. We've been one among several voices, but not enough, Tucker, Bannon, and others. Immigration law enforcement is a federal responsibility, to the Texas Tribune writes. Abbott appears to be testing the limits of state authority by empowering state law enforcement and National Guard troops under state deployment to bring migrants to port of entry, stopping short of using state resources to expel migrants from the country, as immigration hawks have increasingly called for in recent months. I call for that, obviously. We should be sending the illegals, the lawbreakers, the vigilantes, the line cutters, and the criminals, because those are all descriptions of the people that break illegally into the country, and send them back to where they came from. Now, look, I want to say something about, you know, some of the illegals that are here. You know, some people say, well, Charlie, a lot of the illegals are here and they just want a better life. And I've always found a difficulty with this argument, because imagine knowing you're breaking the law and staying there. I don't have a soft spot for those people. Now, for some of the children, I might have a soft spot, like the DACA kids. I don't support amnesty by any means whatsoever. I support removal. But I'm just talking about from a tonal perspective, T-O-N-A-L. There's people that say, well, Charlie, come on, these people want a better life. Yeah, a lot of people want a better life. But you're breaking the law every day that you are here. Every day you decide to illegally domicile yourself in a place that did not invite you, that did not welcome you, that you know breaks the law. That is an act of immorality in perpetuity. That never gets talked about. It's like you break into that house and you mooch off the government and you mooch off being there and you deteriorate public resources and schools and roads. If you want to come here, do the process to come here. Get in line. We have far too many legal immigrants, but... And it, by the way, if you look at how many people in America that are suffering from baby shortages, baby formula shortages, not baby shortages, actually we have a baby shortage too, but that's a separate topic, baby formula shortage, where we have a food shortage and a fuel shortage, you got to take care of your own citizens first. It's very simple. And not to mention, I had a friend from Chicago send me a picture of a tampon shortage, literally, happening in Chicago. PlayCut 23, DEA administrator says fentanyl has been seized in every U.S. state, while the Attorney General of North Carolina, Josh Stein, says, actually, we've played this tape earlier in the week. It's worth playing again. PlayCut 23.
DEA Administrator Ann Milgram says that by the numbers, this is unlike anything she's ever seen.
DEA has interdicted fentanyl counterfeit pills in every single U.S. state and territory. It's everywhere. In Mexico, criminal drug trafficking networks, they're sourcing chemicals from Chinese chemical companies that's then flooding into the United States.
We are at the deadliest moment in what is the deadliest drug epidemic in American history. More than three quarters of all teens who are dying of overdoses have fentanyl in their system. It's killing America's youth.
It is killing America's youth. And Alejandro Mayorkas says they're doing a great job. PlayCut 18.
Do you think it's working?
I think that we are doing a good job.
That they're doing a good job. So I applaud Governor Abbott for doing this. I would like to see him go a step further and to deport them altogether out of the country. We've given the federal government appropriate time, and we've given them plenty of opportunity to fix this problem themselves. They've decided not to do it, not the Border Patrol. They're wonderful. By the way, Mayorkas talks about that. He says, look, Border Patrol, their morale is really low. They're low, Mayorkas, because you being a traitor to the United States, I don't use that term lightly because he is, allowing the invasion of America to happen 5,000 to 7,000 people a day, covering it up, they want to do their job and you're not letting them do their job. PlayCut 17.
I will tell you the frustration of the individuals, you know, with the badges on the ground and the holstered firearms is earned. We need to be very clear about that. And our Border Patrol agents, their morale is down, and I understand why.
Their morale is down because they're being led by you, because you are allowing them to come into the country. And I believe that when Republicans take back the House, forget Biden, don't impeach him, he's the worst, they're going to get rid of him. Impeach Mayorkas. Make Mayorkas go through an impeachment trial. We have the documents. We have the testimony. He has invited these people into the country. Impeach Mayorkas. Okay, let's get to another question here. Charlie, and by the way, we should also impeach Attorney General Garland. But Charlie, we're exactly 4 months out from the midterms on November 8th. Have we made any real progress on securing our elections after what happened in 2020? Are there any developments we should know about? Thank you so much. So, yes, Wisconsin Supreme Court has now disallowed absentee ballot drop boxes. Wisconsin conservative-controlled Supreme Court has ruled that the absentee ballot drop boxes may be placed only in election offices so that no other than the voter can return a ballot in person, dealing critically a defeat to Democrats in the battleground state. The court did not address in its Friday ruling whether anyone other than the voter can return his or her own ballot by mail. Election officials and others argued that drop boxes are a secure and convenient way for voters to return ballots. This decision sets absentee ballots rules for the August 9th primary and the fall election. Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Democrat Governor Tony Evers are seeking re-election in key races. So, yes, this is a massive vindication for Donald Trump. It's a massive win for the America First movement and for the election integrity movement. We just had Ron Johnson on our program, who's fabulous. And so the fact now that they're not allowing these massive drop box operation is a win for the 2000 Mules movement, by the way. The 2000 Mules movie was all predicated on this idea of having absentee ballot drop boxes in the main urban areas, allowing mules to go pick up errant ballots and be paid to do so. Absentee ballots at college campus dormitories, nursing homes, granny, they call it granny farming, according to the New York Times. That's their term. where you go pick up all these ballots and you go to an absentee ballot drop box and you launder the ballots to the drop box, wipe your hands clean of it. It's quote unquote the perfect crime. Well, one of the ways that you stop the mules from doing what they are doing is you get rid of the drop boxes altogether. And by the way, it's so interesting. Associated Press, you know what they say? They say, this is a defeat for Democrats. Oh, really? They say, quote, dealing a critical defeat to Democrats in the battleground state. Now, what I think they mean by that is they mean that from a legal standpoint. But what they really are saying is that it's a defeat politically for the Democrats, meaning that Democrats were suing to try to keep the ballot drop boxes there. When in reality, Democrats in Wisconsin are going to have a lot harder time cutting corners and cheating. They have a lot harder time subsidizing mules all throughout Milwaukee and Madison and Dane County. Really makes you think, if Republicans would have taken election integrity seriously in 2020, who would be president right now? You got to keep on asking yourself this question. It's the most important question. It's the operative question. Why do Democrats want drop boxes so badly? Why do they want them so badly? We all know the answer to that, but it needs to continually be repeated, which is why can't you go vote in your precinct? If you want to have vote by mail, if that's really something you need, then have it only for the physically disabled and the people out of state. How is it so hard to go into a precinct and a voting place to go vote? Having ballots thrown all over the place, how is that secure? In fact, it creates shakiness and unease in our republic and our representative form of government. Are you a business owner who actually cares about your employees and will fight through this economic crisis for your team? I support you, and I want you to fight for your employees now and for their future. That is why I want you to move your company's 401k plan to a company I trust, PAX Financial Group. I actually just opened an account with them, and I'm very impressed with them. PAX Financial Group is not a mega corporation that runs your 401k one day and the next day supports legislation that destroys your values. I actually met PAX Financial at a pro-life dinner. That should tell you everything you need to know about them. PAX's values are your values, and your small business retirement plan needs to be run by a company who shares your values. So right now, I want you to text 401k to the number 74868. Again, that's 401k to 74868 to get a no-cost conversation with a PAX retirement specialist. Again, just text 401k to 74868 to be instantly connected. I trust them with my money. I think you should too. I trust the team at PAX Financial Group. Check it out. Text 401k to 74868. Dear Charlie, this is Isaac from Missouri. Dear Charlie, I'm increasingly worried about the wokes taking over our society. Is it also happening in the medical field? I feel as if that'd be one place where it won't be tolerated. Thanks so much. Yes, the idea of what is woke is something that goes against Western values. The woke believe in black-only dormitories. They believe freedom of speech is a white supremacist value. They don't believe in math. They don't believe in science. Yes, it's critical race theorist. It's subjectivism. It's my truth. There is no truth. All these sorts of different things. And so you're starting to see it happen. We saw it in the distribution of medical treatment. Monoclonal antibodies in New York City were distributed based on race, and no one did anything about it. Republicans are too busy sending $56 billion to Ukraine. We don't even know where that money went. They wouldn't dare fight on this. But in the latest development is in the state of Oregon. This is about to get very, very disturbing, everybody. If we do not take this seriously, the damage will be generational and irreversible. Oregon health officials delayed a meeting because, quote, urgency is a white supremacy value. I'm reading from the libertarian website, reason.com. Now, mind you, at first I thought this was a little bit of an exaggeration. I said, come on, health officials, you've got to be kidding me. But I read forward and I read the article. The Oregon Health Authority is a government agency that coordinates medical care and social well-being in Oregon. During the pandemic, OHA was responsible for coordinating Oregon's vaccination drive and disseminating information about COVID-19. the agency's Office for Equity and Inclusion. Stop right here. Any sort of company, any college that has anything with diversity, equity, inclusion, do not send your kid to those schools. If there is a DEI office, you should not send them there. This is one of the reasons the only college I put my name behind is Hillsdale College. They don't have a diversity, equity, inclusion board. They don't have any of this pile of nonsense. So what happens when you get an equity inclusion board? The following. Equity inclusion, the Diversity Equity Inclusion Office said, quote, we cannot rush government business. In fact, the office program manager delayed a meeting with partner organizations on stated grounds that urgency is a white supremacy value. So this is an email sent by Danielle Droppers, who works for the state of Oregon. She is a government official, and she's a regional health equity coalition program manager. Say that three times fast. Regional Health Equity Coalition Program Manager of the Oregon Health Authority. She sends the following email. Again, this is in healthcare. This is not a college campus. This is not a kindergarten. Because remember, a lot of conservatives and a lot of your Republican senators and mine, you know, that I guess we cheer on and support, they're like, oh yeah, you know, the radicalism, it will just stay on college campuses. Okay. Hello, partners. Thank you for your interest in attending the Community Conversation between Regional Health Equity Coalitions, RHECs, and Community Advisory Councils, CACs, to discuss the Community Investment Collaboratives, CICs. In being responsive to partners from across the state, we're hearing the timing of this meeting is not ideal and that people would like more time to prepare for this important conversation. We recognize that urgency is a white supremacy value that can get in the way of more intentional and thoughtful work. You hear that? If you're ever urgent about something, I don't know, like storming a beach to fight the Nazis or sacrificing your life in Guadalcanal or Iwo Jima, that's a white supremacist value. Rushing your wife to the hospital, white supremacist value. We recognize that urgency is a white supremacy value that can get in the way of more intentional and thoughtful work. And we want to attend to this dynamic. Therefore, we'll reach out to a later date to reschedule. Thank you so much for your patience, care, and understanding. Best, Danielle Droppers, Regional Health Equity Coalition Program Manager, Oregon Health Authority, Office of Equity and Inclusion. They will not stop. They will take over medicine. They will take over, they've already taken over the schools. They'll take over corporations. And remember, from the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History, they said having families is a white supremacist value. This is your taxpayer dollars. Scientific method is a white supremacist value. The Protestant work ethic, having religion, being on time. Basically, the Smithsonian Museum said black people should not be asked to be on time because you're being a white supremacist. So next time you are being urgent, according to the Oregon Government Health Assembly Association, you're being a white supremacist. Look, as you know, our friend Mike Lindell has amazing passion, and especially has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors, out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. Call 800-875-0425 or click on promo code Kirk or MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. Charlie, I saw you went viral for saying something about the church and state being mixed together. Can you please elaborate on that? Yes. So we were interviewing Congressman Jim Banks. You should go back and listen to that episode. It's pretty awesome. And he was talking about how the Biden regime is exporting atheism worldwide. And I'm going to read exactly what I said, and I'm going to allow my words to hold itself. So this is from Mediaite, who they said, Charlie Kirk, the bag of potatoes, that's what they call me, who runs Turning Point USA, erroneously claim the nation's founders wanted religion and government mixed together. They did. He called the siloing of the two a fabrication contrived by humanists. Speaking on his program, he said that, quote, there is no separation of church and state. According to the founders, that is correct. And I said, quote, it is derived from a single letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Convention. He said, referring to a correspondence in which Jefferson, a founder, endorsed the idea, quote, of a wall of separation between religion and government. I said, quote, of course we should have church and state mixed together. Quote, our founding fathers believed in that. We can go through the detail of that. They established literally a church in Congress, which is true. They established chaplains' offices and prayer rooms and religious ceremonies in Congress. And so immediately the media responded to this, never giving me a chance to reply. But there was one very smug person who's a professor from Wheaton College, which used to be a really good place and is now a complete woke and unfortunately increasingly godless institution, Wheaton College, by the name of Miranda Yaver, Dr. Miranda Yaver. So she tweeted something at me. She said, good thing Charlie is not taking my constitutional law course or else he would fail. So I responded, I emailed her and I said, hey, do you want to come on the show? And we could talk about this and we won't debate it. I want to know your thoughts and I'll tell you mine. And because I know a fair amount of history and you're an important person, you're an associate professor of political science and you're supposed to be super smart. Why don't we have a conversation about this? And so then she says, quote, very smugly and arrogantly, hi, Charlie, if you enroll at Wheaton College, you're more than welcome to take my constitutional law course. In the meantime, I suggest that you read the First Amendment. Very smug and arrogant. Now, Professor Miranda Yaver then doxed me and put my personal information on Twitter, which has resulted in all sorts of fun responses from the internet. And so let's build this out. Since Professor Miranda Yaver is a coward and really not that smart because she's a professor at Wheaton and teaches your children and doesn't want to talk about it, let's talk about this. Okay, so let's talk about what first does the church mean. It doesn't mean a single individual church. It doesn't mean a certain denomination. But from a very 35,000-foot view, we must understand that the founding fathers were born into a nation where state by state, in state constitution after state constitution after state constitution, had faith as a primary component. For example, in the Pennsylvania Constitution in Section 10, quote, I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, and the rewarder of the good and the punisher of the wicked. This is the Pennsylvania Constitution. I do acknowledge the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration, and no further or religious test shall ever hereafter be required of any civil officer or magistrate in this state. So if you believe that the New and Old Testament were be given by divine inspiration, and you believe in one God, creator, and governor of the universe, that was enough to be able to serve in government. That was the founding fathers. That was Pennsylvania. Maryland had something very similar. Virginia had something very similar. How about this one? The Declaration of the Rights of the Inhabitants or the Commonwealth or the State of Pennsylvania, quote, that all men have a natural and unalienable right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own conscious understanding, and that no man outright can be compelled to attend a religious worship or erect a support or any place of worship. Now, understand, the Founding Fathers never wanted to force religion on people, but they did believe that the church had an active role to be in government and to be forming the moral landscape of a nation. So, for example, James Wilson, the signer of the Constitution and signer of the Declaration, said, quote, our all-gracious creator, preserver, and ruler has been pleased to discover and enforce his laws by a revelation given to us immediately and directly from himself. This revelation is contained in Holy Scriptures. William Samuel Johnson, signer of the Constitution, said, quote, remember that you are redeemed of the Lord, Ephesians 1:7, and that you are bought with a price, even the inestimable price of the precious blood of the Son of God. Acquaint yourselves to him, his word, and his holy ordinances. 55 out of 56 of the signers of the Declaration were regular church attending Christians. Continues, when you start to study, all of a sudden, the founding fathers wrote, quote, the separation of church and state does not mean the exclusion of God, righteousness, morality from the state. So where do we get this phrase, separation of church and state? Well, it's not in the Constitution. Let's read what the First Amendment says As Dr. Yaver says, the professor who's afraid to debate me on this because she's so smug and arrogant, she actually is probably afraid she'll lose. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Pause. What does that mean? What was the thought process behind that? It means that they were not going to make it a Catholic nation or a Lutheran nation or a Presbyterian nation. But then it continues, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It does not say that Christians should not be tried to be involved in government. It doesn't say that the church should not be involved in government. No, it says that Congress shall make no law expecting establishing a specific form of Christianity, abridging the freedom of speech or the press or of the right of the people peacefully to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter then to the Danbury Baptist Convention. Now, let's get some context of that. The Danbury Baptist Convention was very worried about what? That government was going to infringe on their church. You see, the context of which Thomas Jefferson wrote the letter was not about Christians not being involved in government. It was government not getting involved in Christianity. And I find this whole topic to be hilarious and laughable, by the way, because they were the ones that wanted to shut down churches. They were the ones that forced mask mandates on churches. They were the ones that wanted to force vaccine mandates. So they're okay with the state going into the church. But the moment that you say anything on a program that Christians or the church, being a broad term, should try to counsel or influence government, they go bananas. Founding Father wrote, quote, "The separation of church and state, as Jefferson wrote it, does not mean the severance of the state from God or the nation from Christianity." You see, what Thomas Jefferson was writing was that, hey, Danbury Baptist Convention, it's okay. You're not going to have the government come after you. Never did he say, should Christians not try to influence government? John Adams, a signer of the Declaration, said, quote, "Suppose a nation in some distant religion should take the Bible for their only law book and every member should regulate his own conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be. The Bible is the best book in the world." These are your founding fathers. But it went even further. Did you know? And again, the wall of separation of phrases is nowhere to be found in the Constitution. And it was resurrected by, I think, the Burger Court in the 1960s. Did you know Congress actually authorized the printing and the purchasing of Bibles? If the founding fathers really believed in the separation of church and state, why did the American founding fathers purchase and endorse and distribute Bibles? September 11, 1777, Congress proposes purchase of 20,000 Bibles. Goes on to say they approve it and distribute it throughout the colonies. The members of the committee were not nobodies. John Adams approved the purchasing and the distribution of Bibles. They had a supply chain issue with Bibles. So they had a special committee for the government to solve a Bible shortage. You guys can read it for yourself. Now, Dr. Yaver won't teach her students this. Dr. Yaver from Wheaton College, which used to call itself a Christian school, she's not interested in any of this. No, she'd propagandize her students on a secular humanist view that there must be this dividing line between the two. It's not true. The founders saw themselves as counselors to the king, counselors to the government, not forced on anybody, not compelled, but the pursuit of absolute truth, of virtue, and the rejection of subjectivity. Now, mind you, America was a Christian nation at the time. Every single one of the colonies had their own laws, like the Pennsylvania Constitution that Ben Franklin said, you must acknowledge scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. The founders were perfectly okay with state after state after state. By the way, states involved in this. And by the way, Maryland was literally named Maryland. Charles Carroll, the only Roman Catholic that we know that signed the Declaration of Independence, was from Maryland. It was founded as a Catholic colony. The colonies themselves were hyper-religious state-run governments. And they just needed a federal government that wouldn't get involved in the state doing that or get involved in the churches practicing their religion. But even with that, the National Congress purchased and endorsed the distribution of Bibles. And so Professor Miranda Yaver, who smugly and arrogantly emailed us about, you know, emailed back, and she said, oh, well, yeah, take my course. Yeah, so I got to go borrow $70,000 a year to go learn nonsense. I responded, quote, Ha, so smug and arrogant. Your commentary is remarkable. The founders were clear the First Amendment's Establishment Clause is about the government not establishing a state-run religion, not the church influencing or involving themselves in government. In fact, Christianity was welcomed as a central pillar in all functions and deliberations during the founding of America. As the founders wrote, quote, "The idea of separation of church and state does not mean the exclusion of God from righteousness or morality from government." If you read the First Amendment, you'll see clearly the separation of church and state appears nowhere. Secondly, Madison, Hamilton, and Jay all stated how they wanted the church to be involved in the public square and in government. I also then said, I fear for your students. However, I'm not shocked Wheaton is staffed with such prideful fools as yourself. Have a blessed day. I pray you learn something and stay away from young people. I believe all of that. And now you get to hear that. The point is this, is that we always want virtuous people in government. And believing that there is a creator, a divine judge of the universe, which, by the way, God is mentioned four times in the Declaration of Independence. Four times. Now, where did the founding fathers get their idea of separation of powers? Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge, lawgiver, and king. Judicial, legislative, and executive. And they believed that only God should have all three of those powers vested in one and separate them into three different branches. Isaiah 33:22. If the founding fathers didn't want a separation of church and state, why'd they put Leviticus on the Liberty Bell? Why didn't they put John Locke on the Liberty Bell? Miranda Yeaver? She's welcome on the program anytime. I have a feeling she won't be here anytime soon. It's really out of control. Inflation is at a 40-year high. Your cash is getting sucked right out of your wallet with higher prices on gas, groceries, practically everything. Look, you got to take charge of your money right now. So here's a principle that we say. Don't use the big banks that hate you. Bank of America is canceling conservatives. A team member that we have at Turning Point USA literally just had his bank account shut down by Bank of America. Literally no longer allowed to use Bank of America because of his politics. True story. So when you want to consolidate your debt and use equity in your home to do so, to lower your monthly expenses, you have to use my friends, Andrew and Todd, at andrewandtodd.com. You have to know what you're going through. So look, I just had dinner with Andrew and Todd in Orange County. We had a great time. They love the Lord. They know the Bible super well. They're ethical. They're beautiful people. They really are. They're wonderful. And Andrew and Todd aren't brokers, they're bankers who handle your refi loan personally from start to finish. And they're always in your corner. In fact, they're helping me with a problem right now. Just all this nonsense with interest rates and all this are helping me clarify it. They're phenomenal to work with. They're responsive. They're Christians. They're conservative. It's andrewandtodd.com to beat inflation by lowering your monthly expenses and protect your greatest asset, your home. So don't use these woke banks. Bank of America, again, my team member, I'm not going to say his name. You guys know him. He's been on our show. Literally, Bank of America sent him a note saying, we are no longer allowing you to bank with us. Boom, like that, all because of politics. Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage share your values. I trust them. That's why I work with them. I hang out with them casually. And I've got to know them really well. They'll treat you right, and that when you use them, you're not using Citibank or Chase or these people that hate your values, that believe in this trans nonsense. Don't use those banks, diversity, equity, inclusion banks. Nope. Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. So just write that down right now. Write it in your phone. You might say, oh, Charlie, I don't need to refinance or whatever. Well, maybe you will 2 months from now. Maybe you young millennials out there, maybe the millennials listening to our show, my fellow millennials, you're going to buy a home soon. Maybe you're getting married and you want to buy something. It's andrewandtodd.com for a quick mortgage checkup. Use the equity in your home before it's too late. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Stop giving money to people who hate you. Andrewandtodd.com love the Lord. They love America. And they're great friends. So I encourage you to use them as your go-to partner for anything mortgage related. Stop using the banks who hate you. Andrewandtodd.com. Arturo from Florida is asking questions about Uruguay and the vaccine. He says, Charlie, what's going on in Uruguay and the Pfizer vaccine? It's really confusing to me. So Pfizer, one of the major money makers for Pfizer is America and Western nations. But part of, you know, American foreign policy, it's starting to actually work against Pfizer, is that it's likely that America tried to offer the Pfizer vaccine to other nations as an act of benevolence. As, oh, hey, look how great we are. However, there are some very interesting things happening in Uruguay, which is a South American country that doesn't get a lot of coverage. honestly. I'm told it's a very beautiful country. It's on the southeastern part of South America, right between Brazil and Argentina. And Uruguay, a judge is basically starting to ask some questions. And he's saying, listen, hey, Pfizer, can you give me the contents of the vaccine? And he's asking for more information. So he's basically asking Uruguay, what's in the vaccine? Can you give me the jab ingredients? Can you give us the internal clinical data? Now, mind you, this is a small country, not a very wealthy country, that is asking questions about the preservation of their country and their citizens. They're literally doing their job. And Pfizer is basically hemming and hawing. They're not responding. They're not answering plainly and bluntly. And you got to imagine that Pfizer kind of looks at this whole thing as kind of an annoyance. You got to probably imagine that. That Pfizer looks at this as kind of a, it's like a bump in the road. It's like whatever. And so Pfizer, there's some reports that Pfizer has pulled out of Uruguay, by the way, that they have pulled the vaccine and they've pulled themselves out of it just to avoid all this, because it's probably not a lot of money. It's probably just more of an annoyance that could possibly reveal so much more. But what if all of a sudden there was a movement of other countries that took the vaccine to ask these questions? It's really more kind of a PR issue for Pfizer, by the way. It's a drop in the bucket financially, but it could be a backdoor into finding out what the heck is actually going on with this vaccine. The judge halted the jab for kids until Pfizer turned over their documents. That's really what this is all centered on. Again, in a country that many of you probably don't think very much about. If they turn over their papers and documents, it could apply to other countries. It could apply to potential health tribunals. And Pfizer's not doing it. Why? There's new reports that show that Uruguay has now suspended COVID vaccinations for children under 13. There's no reason to do it for children under 13, yet we're now doing it for 6 months old in our country because vaccine manufacturers want liability protection. If it gets on the childhood schedule, you can't sue them. If Trump or some future president like Ron DeSantis could potentially pull the emergency use authorization for Pfizer, which then could be a tsunami of lawsuits against Pfizer unless it gets on the childhood vaccination schedule and they get all the immunity protections. Uruguay has no such protections. Uruguay has no such crony capitalist carve-out. Uruguay is a weaker and not in a bad way, they're just a weaker and poorer country than America. But they're also not going to allow themselves to be imperially conquested by some sort of pharmaceutical experiment. They're just asking questions and Pfizer won't give them answers. So in a bizarre turn of events, we might actually learn more about this Pfizer vaccine from Uruguay than our own country. Jabs have been halted for kids in other countries, by the way, by health authorities, but we think this is the first time a judge has stepped in and halted vaccines. And what I also love about this story is God bless the small standing up to the big. God bless a smaller country that's just asking questions, that is saying, hey, is this going to harm people? Uruguay, an unlikely potential savior in this entire sick and disturbing biomedical fascist chapter that we're living through right now. Can one judge change the world? Maybe. We just need some answers. What are the ingredients? What is the data? What are your internal documents? Pfizer might pull out. We don't know. It's still happening. But there's a fascinating story unfolding right now in Uruguay. We're going to keep our eyes on it. And God bless this one judge for asking the proper questions. By the way, Haiti, which is the definition of a third world country, God bless them. They've had a very tough go at it. They only vaccinated 1.4% of their population, and yet they have one of the lowest COVID death rates in the world. Weird how that works, right? Haiti, 1.4% current vaccination rate, one of the lowest COVID death rates in the world. Israel and other countries are reinstituting mask mandates. The madness continues. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.